Yeah, okay, so thank you for coming. Today I'm going to talk about a paper that I published with Freddy and Nick last summer. And it's about smoothly splitting amplitude and semi-locality. So let's see what is this about. So to put you in context, scattering amplitudes determine the probability of a scattering process between elementary particles to happen. So scattering amplitudes build important bridges between experimental and theoretical physics. And they are normally computed using quantum field theory, which is this framework that unifies quantum mechanics and special relativity. And yeah, so if the coupling is small enough, you can safely do a perturbative expansion where the leading term is called tree-level. And so in today's talk, I'm only going to focus on tree-level. And they can be computed, for example, using Feynman diagrams. So scattering amplitudes have very interesting properties. So for example, one of them is factorization, which allows to reconstruct scattering amplitudes from their basic knowledge of their analytic structure and also some other physical considerations. So for example, if we consider a scattering amplitude of massless particles, we know that at tree level, amplitudes have simple poles of the form 1 over pi squared, where pi is a sum of momenta. And we know that residues at these poles have the form of the product of two lower point amplitudes participating in the scattering. So for example, if we have an n particle amplitude and we go to a pole given by p squared equals 0, where p is the sum of the momentum of these particles from 1 to m, then we know that the residue is given by the product of two lower point amplitudes, left and right, where the left amplitude has particles from 1 to m and a new internal on-shell one. And then the right particle has the rest of the particles and also this internal on-shell particle. And yeah, so this can be derived from unitarity arguments, and locality is the statement that amplitudes at tree level don't have any other kind of singularity. So another important property of scattering amplitudes is the color decomposition. So scattering amplitudes that come from theories with color flavor structure admit a decomposition into partial amplitudes. So let's see an example of what this is. So today I'm going to mainly focus on the biadjoint scalar theory. So this is a theory with a UN, so let me write this. So it's a theory with UN cross UN tilde flavor group, and it has a scalar representing it in the biadjoint of the product of these two groups, and it has cubic interactions. So it can be shown, so the details of this formula for this talk are not very important, but it can be shown that the amplitude can be expressed as a sum of a color structure times a kinematic structure, which we call the partial amplitude, and this is going to be the main object for this talk. And as you can see, this partial amplitude depends on two labels, alpha and alpha tilde, which correspond to orderings for the particles. And for this talk, I will consider the case where alpha is the same as alpha tilde, okay? So let's see how this partial amplitude in this biadjoint scalar theory looks like. So let's start with the simplest case. The simplest case is n equals 3, which is the amplitude is just a constant. And we can set it to 1, for example. And for n equals 4, what we have to do, so n means the number of particles participating in the scattering. So in order to compute the amplitude, what we have to do is to write all the Feynman diagrams, which have cubic interactions and which are planar with respect to a given ordering. So for this talk, we consider the ordering 1 to 3 up to n. So these Feynman diagrams are given by the following. So we draw a disk with points, so from labels which are cyclically consecutive in this ordering. By the way, can you see this? Yeah, okay. So we have points from 1 to 4 following this ordering, and then we draw all the possible diagrams with cubic interactions so that there are no crossing lines. So for example, one possibility would be this one. And another possibility would be this one. So these are the first and second diagrams here. And now, in order to compute their contribution to the amplitude, so it's very simple, here we see that this diagram has one pole, sorry, one propagator, and the momentum flowing through this propagator is P1 plus P2. So this gives a contribution of 1 over S12, where SAV is defined in this way. So it's the sum of the momenta squared. Okay, and because of momentum conservation, this is also the same as 1 over S34. Then the second diagram also has a propagator. The momentum flowing through this propagator is P2 plus P3. So this gives a contribution of 1 over S23, which is the same as 1 over S14 because of momentum conservation. So the partial amplitude is just given by summing these two contributions. So this is how a four-point amplitude looks like in this theory. And yeah, so for those of you who still remember these things, this would correspond to the S and T channel. There is no U channel because, so if you think it in terms of Mandelstam variables, because the diagram giving the U channel is non-planar with respect to this ordering. Okay. And yeah, so for n equals 5, you can do the same. There are 5 possible planar Feynman diagrams. And yeah, so the 5-point amplitude looks like this. So for example, the first term is coming from the first diagram. So here we see that this diagram has one propagator with momentum P1 plus P2. So this gives a contribution of 1 over S12. And it has a second propagator with momentum given by P1 plus P2 plus P3. So this gives, so by momentum conservation, this is the same as minus P4 minus P5. So this gives 1 over S15. And you can do the rest for all the diagrams, and you get this amplitude. So this is how partial amplitudes look like. So now let me explain what we found. So we have seen that partial amplitudes, which are planar with respect to some ordering, will have planar poles of this form, right? So this sum of, so 1 over sum of momenta squared, where these momenta are consecutive, the ordering. So this means that if we make some non-planar kinematic invariants to vanish, and by non-planar I mean kinematic invariants of this form where I and j are non-consecutive, then you would expect that nothing interesting happens to the amplitude. But what we found is that there are some subspaces in the space of kinematic invariants in which some non-planar kinematic invariants vanish, and the amplitude factorizes into 3 pieces that we call J1, J2, and J3, and these are known as amputated currents. Okay, I will define what an amputated current is. And this amplitude factorizes into 3 pieces without becoming singular. So this is in contrast with what we saw for factorization, and we call this a smooth splitting. So moreover, each pair of currents shares one external on-shell particle, which was participating in the original scattering. So this is showing some kind of non-local behavior that we call semi-locality. And the general behavior, we call it a 3-split. And as far as we know, it cannot be obtained from factorization arguments. So this is something new seen in quantum field theory. OK, so before being more concrete about 3-splits, let's see what an amputated current is. So remember that the claim is that when you make some non-planar kinematic invariants to vanish, then the amplitude factorizes into 3 amputated currents. So what is an amputated current? So first of all, we can define it from the standard LSD formalism. So first of all, what is a scattering amplitude in this formalism? Remember that so we are in Minkowski space, and we insert some operators in Minkowski spacetime. And we, using the path integral, we can compute some correlation function, which is translational invariant. And then if we Fourier transform to momentum space, because of the translational invariance of this function, this produces a distribution. So you would have some delta, which imposes momentum conservation, times this G tilde in momentum space. So the scattering amplitude is just given by this multidimensional residue on this G tilde. So what we are doing here is to impose that every external particle is on shell. Okay, so we are sending p squared equals 0. And this is because we're considering massless particles. So this is what an amplitude is. Now, what is a current? A current is almost an amplitude, but instead of doing this multidimensional residue for all the particles, we do it for all but one of them. So for example, we do it for particles from 1 to n minus 1, except for particle n. So what this means is that we will have an object with all on-shell external particles except one which is going to be off-shell. So it doesn't satisfy the equations of motion. Okay. And so one amputated current is just a current multiplied by p squared, where this is the moment of the off-shell particle. So yeah, so today I'm going to talk about only about scalar theories. So we can compute amputated currents using Feynman diagrams, which are combinatorially identical to the diagrams that we use for computing scattering amplitudes. So, for example, say that we are in a five-point scattering amplitude, and particle 5 is off-shell. So this means that this diagram would contribute 1 over S12 from this propagator. From this propagator, we would write normally 1 over S4 5, but we will hide label 5 because this is off shell. We'd write it as 1 over S1 to 3. So 1 over S1 to 3, I mean, so S1 to 3 is the sum of P1 plus P2 plus P3 squared. So we can compute amputated currents like this. Okay, so now let me explain what is the kinematics that produces three splits, and we call it split kinematics. So it's very simple. So remember that this kinematic invariant SAV, oops. Sorry. So these kinematic invariants SAV are defined by the sum of these two momenta squared. So we can construct a matrix which encodes all the kinematics of the amplitude, and where each entry is given by this, okay? So since we're dealing with massless particles, the diagonal is zero because p squared is zero. And so this would be an example of how this matrix looks like for n equals 9. And yeah, so split kinematics is defined by the following. So it defines three labels, I, j, k. So let's see an example directly to see this. So imagine that we go to split kinematics 1, 4, 7. So these three labels fix three rows and three columns of the matrix, in particular rows and columns 1, 4, and 7, which are these red lines that I draw here. So this gives the matrix some kind of tic-tac-toe structure with 9 chambers. So split kinematics is given by imposing that the elements in the non-diagonal chambers to be zero. Okay. So in this example, it would look like this. So we are imposing to zero these guys, and these guys. And this matrix is symmetric, so we would also impose to zero these three guys. Okay. So this is how split kinematics looks like. So now that we know the split kinematics, let's see what they do to the amplitude. So let's start with an example. Yeah, so imagine that you compute the n equals 6 partial amplitude. It looks like this. And now you impose split kinematics 1, 3, 5. So we see that the amplitude becomes the product of these three objects. And these three objects are amputated currents, not amplitudes. Let's see why. So this looks like a four-particle amplitude. So something like this with particles 1, 2, 3, and a fourth particle that I call I. But this is not an amplitude, but an amputated current because, so we see that pi squared is given by p1 plus p2 plus p3 squared. And this is not zero in general, okay? So this particle is off shell, and this is why this is not an amplitude. And we can also see that the semi-local behavior here, because particle 3 is shared by the first two currents. Particle 5 is shared by the second and third one, and particle 1 is shared by the third and first one. And yeah, so this is another example. So for n equals 8 and 1, 5, 7 split kinematics, we would get this product of three currents. This is a 6-point current, and a 4-point current, and a 4-point current. And yeah, so you can see the semi-local behavior again. So the on-shell particles that are shared between two currents are given by these labels, 1, 5, and 7. Okay, so far I have only been talking about the partial bijoint scalar amplitude, which is very simple. So you might be thinking that three splits are just a feature of the simplicity of this theory. But indeed, what we found is that three splits happen in all the theories that we studied. Yeah, so the answer to this question is yes. And for example, we studied the UN nonlinear sigma model. So this is also a theory of scalars. And I'm not going into much detail here, but if you compute the n particle scattering amplitude for this theory, and you impose split kinematics, you see that the amplitude either vanishes or becomes the product of three amplitude currents. But the difference with respect to the previous theory is that one of the currents comes from the original theory in the scattering, but then there are two currents which come from an extended theory, a theory which includes not only the pions in the nonlinear sigma model, but also includes by adjoint scalars. So this is a way to discover extended theories just by exploring these regions of the kinematic space. And yeah, so here I show you an example. So here, if you compute the n equals 8 amplitude in both these kinematic conditions, you get this product where the first object is a 4-point current in the nonlinear sigma model theory, and the second and third objects are amplituded currents from these extended theories. They are 5-point amplituded currents. And yeah, so we also had a look at the special Galilean, which is also a theory of scalars. And we see a similar behavior here. So we have an amplituded current from the original theory and two currents from the extended theories, okay? And in this case, it was particularly surprising because the special Galilean doesn't have any ordering. So we have to consider the permutation invariant set of poles. So we would expect that to hit some divergence in the split kinematics, but it's not the case. So somehow the higher derivatives in the Lagrangian manage to cancel these divergences, and we get a smooth split again. Okay, so let me summarize what we have seen so far. So we found a subspace in the kinematic space in which massless three-level amplitudes factorize into three currents and without hitting a divergence, okay? We also saw that three splits allow to discover extended theories from simpler ones, just as we saw for the nonlinear sigma model. Yeah.
And it's not only for the diagonal partial amplitudes, or for the other ones?
We only had to look at the diagonal partial amplitudes, but I mean, if you define an partial amplitude by some ordering, then you would expect that something similar happened. You can relabel things, right? And you would, I mean, it would be the same at the end. But we didn't check it yet. I mean, if you consider the full amplitude, so including all the diagonals and the double ordered amplitudes, then of course you will get that the amplitude diverges because, I mean, you will make some poles to vanish, right? But individually, in principle, you would get the three splits, yeah. Yeah, the last point I want to make is that, as far as we know, this is a new phenomenon observed in QFT, but the physical meaning is still unclear, so we don't know what to do with it. And yeah, so let me make a couple of remarks just to finish. So in recent years, there has been a huge progress in understanding amplitudes from different perspectives than the field theory language. So for example, there has been a huge understanding in amplitudes coming from ideas in combinatorics or algebraic geometry. And I'm mentioning this because one of the recent developments I'm talking about is the CHY formula. So this is a formula that was proposed 10 years ago by a team here at PI. And it's very simple, so I'm not going into much detail, but this formula is like an integral over the space of punctured Riemann spheres. And the integrand can be separated into two parts. They are theory dependent. So this formula is very universal. And here is a list of theories that admit a CHY formula. So for example, the theories that we studied, the adjoint scalar, nonlinear sigma model, and special Galilean. But there are also more interesting theories like Yang-Mills or gravity. And I'm saying this because, so we used CHY to prove three splits in all the theories we studied. And this was very useful because in contrast with what we have with factorization, in which we have a very intuitive knowledge of how Feynman diagrams factorize in a factorization limit. Here, due to the semi-locality property of three splits, there is no way that we can make sense of Feynman diagrams. But CHY doesn't use Feynman diagrams, so in some sense it resums them. So, and in fact, it's very well behaved under split kinematics. So it really looks like very promising that other theories like Young-Mills could three-split, and maybe this would help us understand what is the physical meaning of this. But yeah, this is something that we haven't done yet, but it should be really doable. Of course, I think that in this case, so for example in Young-Mills, split kinematics wouldn't be enough because Young-Mills has polarization vectors, but maybe something new has to be done to the polarization vectors to produce three splits. But I don't think it should be very difficult to do that. Also, so we used three splits to reconstruct nonlinear sigma model amplitudes from novel recursion relations. And finally, you might be wondering, where are these three splits coming from? So, I mean, how did we discover them? And so remember that the CHY formula is is an integral over the moduli space of points on Riemann spheres. So you can think of a Riemann sphere as a complex projective space of dimension one. And there is a very natural generalization to the CHY formula to points on complex projective spaces of higher dimensions that we parameterize with k, so CPK minus one. And this provides like a very natural generalization of the notion of quantum field theory from the CHY formula perspective. And these theories have analogous objects to scattering amplitudes, which have very exotic behaviors. So for example, they factorize into three pieces. And this factorization into three pieces seems analogous to these three splits that we saw in quantum field theory. But we are not sure if these three splits are coming from them or not. And I think this was my last slide. Yeah, thank you.
No questions on Zoom. Do you have questions in the audience?
So the Mandelstam invariants aren't all independent, and you're setting a bunch of them to zero. Is it consistent with the assignments of four vectors?
That's a very good question. So we try to look at this. So this for arbitrary dimension, Bessel dimension. So we try to look at this from what happens to these kinematics in four space-time dimensions. And first of all, so at the level of kinematic invariants, it's very easy to show that three splits only hold for up to n equals 7 particle scattering. But if you look at the vectors, to what happens to the vectors when you pose these conditions, nothing special seems to happen. So,
but even if you go to d dimensions, you can still find assignments of d vectors that cause these Mandelstams to vanish.
What is the behavior?
Not all the Mandelstams are invariant for momentum conservation.
So
we eliminated all the momentum conservation. It's consistent with all those.
It's consistent. Absolutely. Okay. So the number of Mandelstams that we are setting to zero is less than the dimension of the kinematic space, always. Yeah.
There are no more questions. Let's thank you again.
Thank you.